Katrina, thank you for playing today. Open your Bibles this morning, please, to the book of Hebrews, chapter 2. The book of Hebrews, chapter 2. We are the last service of 2017. It's hard to believe. This year is just about come and gone. And to be honest, it's a year that has flown by. And as we look back, we look back over the things that God has done. We look back over the different blessings of God and the many people that the Lord saw fit to add to Emmanuel. We're grateful for that. We're thankful for all the folks whose lives has been changed by the gospel of Christ. We're thankful for whose, as far as the different things, the different milestones maybe in your life. To many of us, it's been a great year. To many, though, for some, it's been a tough year. And for some, as we've often said at the end of the year, for some, when you think about the year, some look back on it and think and say, wow, man, I wish the year would continue. Where some may look back and say, whew, thank the Lord it's over, amen. And maybe that's where you're at, I don't know. But nonetheless, when you come to the book of Hebrews, as we said to you last Sunday, the book of Hebrews is a tremendous book because what the book of Hebrews does is it really gives us an understanding of how awesome Jesus is. Jesus Christ, the theme of the book of Hebrews is simply that Jesus Christ is better. He's greater than anything you could imagine. We said to you last week of how the Lord Jesus Christ is, he's greater than the Old Testament prophets because Jesus Christ came to fulfill the law and the prophets. So he's greater than the prophets. We understand that he was greater than the angels because Jesus Christ outranks the angels. He's also indeed greater than even his creation because Jesus will outlast the universe. But when you come to Hebrews chapter 2, these few verses that we're going to look at this morning is often, in my opinion, it's often a portion of Scripture that sometimes is, I believe, misinterpreted. And I don't necessarily mean that from as far as people are maliciously trying to distort the passage and distort the text. Many times you've heard it, and I've heard good men that I admire preach in Hebrews chapter 2, and they preach it as, a salvation message. They preach it to the lost and those that do not have Christ as their Savior, and they present it from that perspective, from that angle. However, I think if you keep it in the context, I think the writer of Hebrews in chapter 2 here is writing this portion of the Scriptures to those that do know Christ as their Savior, to those that have been born again, and we'll show you that as we read these few verses. Hebrews chapter 2, if you found your place in honor and reverence to the reading of God's holy word, will you please stand with me? We're talking about today neglecting something so great. Neglecting something so great. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, now again, Bible students, that one word has flipped us back to the previous chapter. In the previous chapter, chapter 1, Jesus Christ is greater. And that's what the writer wants us to understand. Because Jesus is greater than the angels. He's greater than the prophets. Greater than even his universe. Because of that, therefore, now, verse 1, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we, notice the emphasis of the word we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, in every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we, notice this now, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your grace and mercy in our life. And God, we do thank you for 2017. Lord, it was really just amazing to see what you can do and how you can work. And God, we're grateful for the many folks that you've led to be a part of Emmanuel. We thank you for those that have trusted you as Savior, God, this year, and we praise your holy name. But God, for some in this room today, we know that 2017 was a very tough year. We think of even as Brother Larry has shared with us today in the passing of Mr. Terry Good. We pray, Lord Jesus, for Bonnie and her family. God, that you'll give them grace at this time in the passing of her dad. We love you, Lord, but God, we also do pray for those that are here today that again, it's been a tough year. But Father, we know that you can work. And God, we know that even in the difficult situations, Father, you often shine the brightest. And God, you often show up in situations that seem absolutely so bleak. But God, you master in those things. And Father, we thank you for that. We ask you will lead, that your Holy Spirit of God will lead us today. And Father, we pray that you'll meet with us in a mighty way. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. And amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Neglecting something so great. We said to you just a moment ago that the Lord Jesus Christ, in my opinion, in my observation of this portion of Scripture, the writer is writing to those that have been born again. You'll notice the emphasis of the word we. Now again, who is he talking to? He's talking to those that were born again. Contextually, we know the book of Hebrews was written to the Jewish believer who had, many had trusted Christ there in the first century. They had left all that they had. They had left their old religion. They had left all of their old practices of that religion, only to have Christ now as their Savior. For many, it cost them their occupation. For many of them, it cost them their job. For many of them, no doubt, they were ostracized from their family. When I think of the customs of the Jewish people, it reminds me of one of our missionaries that we support who is in Israel. And that the missionary, I won't mention his name because we are live via internet right now, but the missionary, I remember him standing in this pulpit and preaching and talking about how when he trusted Christ as a Jewish man, when he trusted Christ as a Savior, that his family had a funeral. Basically, literally had a funeral, even though he was alive. They had a funeral as simply to say that because he had trusted Christ as Savior, he was now dead to them. So if you'd imagine from a Jewish perspective, there were many in this, as far as in this writings to these folks that had trusted Jesus, there were many of them that were really struggling. Because they were struggling because, you know, they were tempted to go back to the old way, to go back to the old religion. But the writer of Hebrews wanted them to understand that what they have in Jesus Christ far surpasses anything that a dead religion can give them. And when you look at this portion of Scripture today, we want to give you just a few thoughts. As we think about it in the context of 2017, you know, we look back on our life. We look, you know, as a believer in Jesus, for those of us that are born again. Today is a day, really, it's evaluation day. And my prayer is that God will use today's message to challenge our hearts to really look at our salvation and really do an examination as to where we are. Where are you today? And as we look at this in the context of that thought, I want to give you a few thoughts as we kind of look at these few verses from Hebrews chapter 2. Notice, first of all, the marvelousness of our salvation. The marvelousness of our salvation. The Bible tells us, he tells us here in verse 3 and 4, how shall we escape if we neglect, underline the word neglect, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? I had you underline the word neglect because as far as contextually, and we use that word a lot. I say that a lot, and you say, preacher, I've noticed that you say the context constantly from the pulpit. Why do you do that? Because, ladies and gentlemen, without proper context, you can twist the Bible to make it say things that it doesn't say. So you have to understand the context of why the writer was writing the portion of Scripture. We've given you some backdrop of those first century Jewish believers that were now being tempted to go back to the old religion. So that's the context. So we look at this text, and I had you underline the word neglect because we believe, and I truly believe, that this portion of Scripture was not a portion of Scripture that was to necessarily be used, you know, to preach it from a, if you're not saved, you know, get saved kind of thing. Now, we do preach that as far as the gospel. We share the gospel every service that we get, no matter that we're at, that we preach. No matter where we are in the Bible, we always do as Charles Haddon Spurgeon says, make a beeline for the cross, and we try to do that. But the word, interestingly enough, the writer says, how shall we escape if we neglect? What did he do? What he did not say was reject. How shall we escape if we neglect? If you think of me, that word, neglect, carries with an idea, in my assessment, carries with an idea of something that you have that you're kind of letting go. Something that you have that you're just kind of, well, you know, you're really not, you know, putting any effort into. You're really not, you know, treating it like you should. You know, if you were to neglect, I had a friend of mine used to drive me absolutely crazy. And he used to drive me crazy. And the reason he would is because he would often have car problems. You say, why did that drive you crazy? Here's what used to drive me nuts. Because if he'd have done just simply the basic maintenance on his vehicles, he wouldn't have had the problems that he had. I remember one time he said to me, he said, I'm so aggravated. I said, why are you so aggravated? He said, man, my tire blew. I said, well, brother, I was going to tell you, you've been able to see the air in that tire for 3 weeks. You know what I'm saying? You know, he just kind of neglected it. You know, maybe, you know, and I have had friends also who, you know, their engines have blown up. And you say, preacher, why did that aggravate you? Because they never changed their oil. They never checked the oil. And you said, so carry with me, if you will, allow that to kind of process in your mind. You know, the word neglect is something that you have, but you're really not taking care of. You're really not, maybe this is a good word, you're really not cherishing it like you should. And the writer of Hebrews is telling us, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? You know, if you think with me just for a moment, as far as the marvelousness of salvation, everything about salvation is marvelous, isn't it? If you're saved here this morning, it's because of God's marvelous salvation. Aren't you grateful for that? I mean, think of me just for a moment. I'm not saying this to, you know, as kind of a, you know, to get you to say amen, but I think it's applicable as far as to say amen because of this reason. Everything about salvation, truly, it's marvelous. I mean, it really is. You know, I've shared my testimony. Many of you could probably stand and, you know, give my testimony maybe better than I can. I've said it so many times. But I think of my life, and I look back over my life, and I know, looking back on it, I know where I was. You know, I know where I was when God saved me. And I'm not necessarily talking about the position of where I was. I mean, I was in the pew next to my aunt and uncle, Surrey and Earl Goad, and there at First Baptist Church in Alexandria. That's kind of the details of that. But I'm saying as far where I was emotionally. I remember as a young kid, man, I struggled. I really struggled with different things. And I had my, you know, my different, as far as, you know, feelings and, you know, and dealt, you know, really wrestled. Did anybody love me kind of thing? And, you know, not to beat that dead horse, if you will, but I remember that. But I also remember, literally, I remember that moment when I trusted Christ as my Savior through His death and resurrection. I asked God to forgive me of my sins. And by faith, I trusted Christ. And here's what amazes me. He saved me that day. And they say, preacher, why does that amaze you? Because literally, that very moment when I repented and believed Christ, I was on my way to heaven now. Ladies and gentlemen, and I know sometimes people have the attitude that God saves you. You know, God saves you to take you to heaven when you die. No. God saves you. You and I going to heaven is a benefit of salvation. But that's not the reason. God doesn't save us just to take us to heaven. If that were the case, I really believe the moment you trust Christ as Savior, He'd take you on up to heaven. God saves you to give Him glory. Amen? That's why God saved you. That's why God saved me. Well, it was for my life to give Him glory. As I think about 2017, here's the thoughts that come to mind. Here's the thoughts that come to my heart. And I hope God will use it today. I really mean this. Where are you today with your salvation? You know, Paul said in the book of Philippians, he said to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Of course, we do know as far as context, we know that what Paul was saying there, he wasn't saying that in order for you to go to heaven, you've got to work your way there. No, salvation is all by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. So we know that we're not saved because of things we do or don't do. We're saved because of Jesus and Jesus alone. Can I get a witness in this building? Now, having said that, when the context of salvation, Paul says, work it out. Now, you've heard me give this illustration. That terminology that Paul uses in Philippians comes from agriculture, comes from farming. And you've heard me say this again, but I want to set it up like this. When Paul says work it out, work out your own salvation, he's talking about literally like a farmer takes a piece of ground, takes care of it, clears it of debris, clears it of rocks, plows it up, busts up the clods of dirt, gets it ready for the, you know, for planting of the seeds and planting of the plants, gets it ready. Now, why does he do that? So that he or she could get all that they can out of that piece of land. When Paul says work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, that's what he's saying to us. Get everything that you can out of your salvation. Not for selfish reason, but because Jesus Christ deserves our best. The marvelousness of our salvation. Don't miss, the writer of Hebrews is telling us, don't miss the greatness of it. How shall we escape? We neglect so great salvation. You know, God doesn't waste words there. He puts a little word, the word so. So great. It's almost as the writer is writing it under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, and he's getting ready. You know, how should we escape if we neglect salvation? But he doesn't say that. He said, if we neglect so great salvation. You know, there's another instance where the word so is used. It's in John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world. You know, when we think about that, God didn't just love the world. He so loved the world. Aren't you thankful that that's a God that so loves you? He so loves me. What a glorious Savior that we have in Christ to know that Jesus Christ did something for us that we couldn't do for ourselves. We so desperately needed it. And Jesus did that for us to take the wrath of God away from our lives, to take the wrath of God, the Bible talks about in Romans, that abideth over us. Because of Jesus and his death and resurrection, he took that wrath away. Wow. You now, if you're born again, you now have a justified standing before God the Father. You know, as we look back on 2017, and I look back on my life of 2017, you know, 2017 came with many challenges. 2017 came with many hills and valleys. And, you know, as far as not only, you know, personally, as far as, you know, physically, emotionally, spiritually, you know, you could fill in the blank. But honestly, when I look back on it, one of the things I'm grateful I can say this today, regardless of what 2017 threw at me, I'm still saved. Amen. I'm still saved. You say, preacher, yeah, but I thought you'd tell us that we're eternally secure. You're right. So point being is there's absolutely nothing that can come into my life or your life if you're born again that can separate me or you from God's love. There's nothing that can separate us from God. Now, if we think about that, you know, what the marvelousness of God's salvation. Now the writer tells us here, you know, look at the text, because I want to give you some thoughts to kind of help you as you know, maybe later on read this portion of Scripture. He says in verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord? If you think about the message of salvation, he then goes on, that you know, then he talks about, he said, it was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. Then God also bearing witness with signs, and you know, witness both with signs and wonders. So we have some interesting thoughts that the writer of Hebrews brings out as far as this marvelousness of salvation. Letter A, first of all, we see that this salvation originated by the Lord Jesus. You know, if you think of me just for a moment, salvation is God's idea. It's God's plan. You and I can't save ourselves. You know that, right? You and I cannot save ourselves. There is not, hate to burst your bubble, there isn't enough goodness in myself or even in you that would literally cause God, you know, to just give you salvation based on your goodness. There isn't enough goodness in you or even in me. And ladies and gentlemen, when we think about that, I mean, I'm grateful today to know that the gospel of Jesus Christ, who Paul says in one of his letters, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? Because it is the power of God unto salvation. When we think of the gospel of Christ, which is the good news, in specific terms of the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord, when we think about it, as far as this marvelousness of this salvation, the greatness of it, it originated by the Lord Jesus. You know, Jesus Christ, and here's what you got to understand. And I know you know this, so let me just kind of really challenge your heart on this. Jesus Christ, when he was born, long before he was born of a virgin in Bethlehem's manger, Jesus Christ knew exactly what he was being called of God the Father to do when he came to this earth. Jesus Christ, let me say it like this. Jesus Christ was born to die. But let me say it like this, though. Jesus Christ was born to die for me, for you. You see, there's a personalness to salvation. You know, we have, and you've heard me say, you've heard preachers say this, but I hope it doesn't fall on deaf ears. We have a personal Savior. Let that get a hold of you. Let that settle in just for a moment. You and I, if you're born again, we have a personal Savior, meaning that he is a God that is so personal in the context of salvation. Say, preacher, what is the big deal about that? Let me tell you what the big deal about him being my personal Savior. The big deal is the writer of Hebrews tells us in another portion of this text, another portion of this letter, he says that, you know, Jesus, you know, we have a high priest who is touched by the feeling of our infirmities. He's a personal Savior. He's a personal Savior, meaning, you know, because he's a personal Savior, the Bible tells us in another portion of Scripture, he ever liveth to make intercession for us. Because he's a personal Savior, like 1 John tells us, he's our advocate. Because he's our personal Savior, he's our propitiation for our sins. You see, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ, he's a personal Savior. And the message, the marvelousness of our salvation, is this salvation originated by the Lord Jesus. But it was also corroborated by the apostles. You know, the apostles, you know, it tells us here in verse 3, it says, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. You know, the apostles, you know, one of the requirements of being a true apostle of God is you had to see the resurrected Lord. That's why, that requirement alone ought to really let you understand that there are no true apostles today. You know that, right? So, preacher, hold on, whoa, whoa. Preacher, I just saw on religious broadcast there was an apostle on there. No, he's not. By definition of the word, he's not. She's not. And don't send your money to him. But anyway, that's another sermon. I don't care if they offer to give you a pair of, you know, socks with little baby Jesus on them. Don't send your money to them. You say, how'd you know about them socks? I never got them. I'm just telling you. Sent my 1995 and I didn't get them, so I'm pretty upset by that. The apostles, it was confirmed, this gospel message, this great salvation. You know, the apostles were eyewitnesses of the resurrected Lord. The apostles, when they preached the gospel message, they were preaching it as truth, there for many reasons, but as truth because it was God's word, and absolutely was God, it originated with God. But they were preaching it, and they were eyewitnesses that Jesus Christ had resurrected from the grave. The apostles, they gave witness to it. They absolutely, it was a message that was originated by Jesus and corroborated by the apostles, but it was validated, letter C, it was validated by the Father, verse 4, with signs and wonders. Jesus, God the Father, actually would often, he would confirm the message, he would validate the message when the apostles would preach and things, he would often validate it by signs and wonders. They say, preacher, what's the significance of that? That's just one of the many reasons why this salvation is so marvelous. It's the marvelousness of our salvation. Second of all, notice the significance of our salvation. He says in verse 2, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received the just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? He, you know, in verse 2, he's really bringing out the significance of God's salvation here. He's bringing out the significance. You know, in this verse, he really brings for us the seriousness, the significance or seriousness of God's law. God is very serious when it comes to his word. You know that, right? You do believe that, correct? God's serious when it comes to his word. In the context of God's law, you say, yeah, but preacher, you say all the time that we're not saved by God's law. You're absolutely right. But ladies and gentlemen, we would not, listen, you and I, yes, we're not saved by God's law, but you got to understand that you and I would have no understanding of salvation apart from God's law. You say, preacher, will you please explain what you mean by that? Let me just say this to you. Without God's law, I would not know that, you know, without the law of God showing me how wicked and ungodly I am, without God's law showing me that, I really wouldn't understand my need for a Savior. You see, God's law in Galatians, I believe it is, Paul says that God's law, it acts as a mirror in our life. When you look in the mirror, right? When you look in a mirror, what does it do? It shows you the damage, right? It shows you the damage that sleeping has caused. Not you, ladies. I'm talking about us men. Got to be careful there. It shows you what's wrong. It shows you what's right. It shows you, you know, where you got to fix your hair. It shows you all that. When you look in the mirror, the mirror doesn't lie. You know, it really doesn't. You know, I often joke about this. I got to be careful, man. I had my shirt off. I remember walking by a mirror one time, and I looked over, and it startled me because it looked like a busted can of biscuits. But anyway, you got to be careful looking in the mirror, right? I used to be a knight in shining armor. I'm telling you, I used to be. But the mirror reveals, the mirror, it doesn't lie. The mirror really shows us who we are. Now, when we think of God's word as a mirror that Paul says it is, let me just say this to you, friend. God's word as a mirror, it doesn't lie. God's mirror, the mirror of God's word, you know what it tells us when we look in it? It tells us that we're a sinner before God. That's what God's word tells us. That's what God's word acting as a mirror shows us. It reveals who we are. It shows us that we're a sinner before God. It shows us that if we die lost in our sins, we're going to go to hell when we die on the authority of God's word. Not by preacher's opinions or man-made ideology. No, friend, by the authority on the authority of God's written word acting as a mirror that God gives us. You've got to look at it. You got to really look into it. You got to dig into it and look at it. And those watching the internet or sitting in this room today, if you're not saved, I beg you, friend, to take a hard look at what God's word says about who you are. I said recently to you that maybe it was last Sunday that many times people say when you share with them that the Bible says for all have sinned, and comes short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. When you share verses like that, the first part of that second verse, when you share with people that they're a sinner before God, oftentimes, many times they'll respond by saying things like this: "Whoa, man, I'm not a bad person, preacher. I said to you last Sunday, I believe it was, that it has nothing to do with how I feel about you. You know, I understand, yes, man, you're a good person. But as far as the world's standards today, as far as the world's assessment, you're a good person. But that doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how the world sees you. What matters is what God's word says about you. That's what matters. And God's word says we're a sinner. That's what God's word says. We see the significance of this salvation. It's so significant. Because God, absolutely, there in verse 2, shows us how serious he is when it comes to his word. We see this significance, but I want to see something else. We see the fullness, if you will, of this salvation. Verse 1 of our text, and we'll finish this up with this. Therefore, because Jesus is greater, we ought to give the more earnest heed. Literally, we better pay special attention. We better take heed. We better pay special attention to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. The word slip, in its original meaning, it carries with it the idea of a river just flowing by. To kind of illustrate that, many of you, you've watched, for all the cool people in the room today who watch the Weather Channel. Hey, did you see on the Weather Channel? They're now selling the Weather Channel jacket. I know somebody that would really like one of them and it's extra small. But a 3X or large tall is a little more modest than an extra small is. But anyway, the Weather Channel, you've watched it, man. You've seen how, you know, floods happen. Man, the water, the rain, and man, floods happen. Just flash floods often will occur. And it isn't uncommon to see on the Weather Channel or maybe the news and things where they show, I remember seeing one recently, they showed it, and I believe it was back in the summer, of this area where this flash flood happened, and it shows this house. Man, literally, this house, I mean, you see it, this house floating down the river, only to hit the bridge and just be destroyed in a million pieces. But the enemy say, well, what in the world does this have to do with that verse in verse 1? The word slip, again, even in its original, it means like a river floating by. If you will, what the writer, I think, of Hebrews is telling us, if we're not careful, look up here, friend. If we're not careful, we can neglect our salvation so much that before too long, it's as if we're just standing on the shore watching it go by, neglecting it. Where are you at today? You say, preacher, I know without a shadow of a doubt, pastor, I know that I'm saved. Well, I want to talk to you for a minute. You're saved, but where are you? You say, preacher, I'm saved. Listen, that's great, man. Praise God, I rejoice with you that you're born again. But you do know that salvation's just the beginning. You understand that, right? That when God saves you, he doesn't just save you to sit in a pew. He doesn't just save you to just kind of, okay, you're saved, you know. You're on your way to heaven, great. No, he saves you, and you know this. He saves you to serve him. He saves you and I to serve him. And I must be honest, as I was thinking about this, I was chewing on it all day, all night, just thinking about it, meditating on, I'm going to introduce our theme for the new year next Sunday. I'm going to talk about that. But as I was really processing this, I started evaluating my own life of 2017. I started looking at my own life spiritually, of where I am today in 2017. You know, when I evaluate my own life, I mean, I guess we have to look at it like this, and maybe this will help you to understand what I mean. The question maybe would be this. Am I close to, man, press in and hear this. I pray to God you hear this statement. The question is this. Am I closer to Jesus on the last day of the year as much as I was on the first day of the year? Where are you at? If the answer is, preacher, I'll be honest, just being honest in my evaluation, I'm not where I need to be. Well, got good news for you. You can get right with God. You can repent if you're a born-again believer. You can repent and ask God to restore you back to fellowship with Him, where you can serve Him with the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is your strength. He said, Pastor, truthfully though, I don't really have much joy. Well, I can tell you this, and I can tell you personally, experientially, I can tell you that when we allow things into our life that are displeasing to Jesus, that we allow sin into our life, when circumstances hit us that are sin will affect your joy. But I'll tell you something else. When we allow circumstances in our life that we didn't necessarily cause, man, but if you're not careful, when things happen that you had nothing to do with, if you're not careful, man, it can cause bitterness. Ooh, man, it can. It can cause bitterness of soul. It can cause bitterness to the extent that, man, it really hardens your heart and you get kind of hard-hearted, get kind of, you know, mad about different things. So where are you at today? Where are you at this morning? Where are you at as far as in the context of your salvation? So, preach, I know I'm saved. That's wonderful, but are you close to Jesus? Are you really, seriously, if you do an examination of your own life personally? You say, well, Pastor, I'm closer than my wife is. I didn't ask you about that. I'm closer than my husband is. He's a bum. Don't talk about your husband. Let's talk about you. Are you as close to Jesus now? This is the last day of the year. As you can possibly be. My pastor used to say, how to know if you're backslidden is if you can remember in your life a time when you were closer to Jesus than you are right now. Somebody's moved, and it wasn't Jesus. You're backslidden. Say, preacher, that's kind of heavy, man. I don't really like that word. Well, it's a Bible word. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And then he tells us again in verse 1, therefore, Jesus is greater. We ought to give the more earnest heed to things which we've heard, lest at any time. It can happen to any of us. We can let it slip. You say, Pastor, I'll be honest, I'm good. Praise the Lord. I'm glad that you are. But please understand, neglecting our salvation can happen to any of us. You can start off with the most intentions that you could have. Say, preacher, man, I'm going to live for God. I'm going to make more, I'm going to really make, spiritual resolutions, if you will, and I'm going to do this or do that for God. And listen, I challenge you to set goals. I'm all for setting goals. Set goals spiritually. Set goals. Set goals personally. Set goals. As far as in your marriage and your relationships, set goals. I'm a big, as far as encourager of doing those kinds of things. But here we are, the last day of the year. Are we going to waste it? Are we going to honestly look at it and say to ourselves, wait a minute, enough is enough. I got to get serious. I've got too much at stake. I got people that are counting on me. I've got people that really I have a influence in their life. And I've got to get serious about this. I read this statement in a book yesterday. I wrote it down. And I want you to think about this. We are not where we are by accident. We are not where we are by accident. Think about that for a minute. If you're backslidden, it's not by accident. We're not where we are by accident. If you're, you know, the joy of the Lord is gone in your life, chances are we can go back a little bit and kind of find out where it started. You know, backsliding, it's, if you kind of picture in your mind, you know, backsliding, it's not, you know, back leaping. It's a gradual slide. I remember fishing down on the Licking River one time, and it's just a mud hole of a river. All those Kentucky rivers are. And I remember fishing one time as me, I think my grandmother was with us, and it started to rain. And, man, you had to come up the bank. It was kind of a steep bank, but it was mud. And, man, when that rain hit it, it got slick as it can be, like glass. And it seemed like you take one step and you slide back two steps. You know what I mean? Kind of just slide. Man, you got momentum. And you slide. You just start. You say, well, where was Big Rose? I left her, man. Every man for himself, right? Get away. But I remember just going up that hill, and, man, you just slide back. You know, the spiritual life, it's kind of a picture of that. It's just a gradual slide. Say, preacher, I'll be honest, I'm away from God. And, man, let me just say something to you, friend. He's just a prayer away. Have you been neglecting your salvation? Stop doing it. Get back in the Word. Get back in prayer. Get back in service to Christ. Get back in, you know, as far as service in the local assembly. Start some new things in your life. You have talents to sing, get in the choir. You have talents of playing an instrument, get in the orchestra. You say, preacher, I want to learn the Bible more. Get in Sunday school. Get in Sunday school. You can learn the Bible like, you know, with other people as far as maybe your age group or your as far as marital group or whatever the different commonalities that you may have. You know, we often have Sunday school classes that really are where you're at. It's all about denying ourselves. It's about discipline, right? Disciplining ourselves so that we don't come to the end of, God willing, we don't come to the end of 2018 like we have maybe perhaps of 2017. And listen, that's not an indictment on you. That's as my heart before the Lord Jesus. My challenge to every single one of us, including myself, is make certain that we're where we need to be. Let's all stand, please, for hymn invitation. Brother Ryan's going to come and lead us. We trust if God has spoken to your heart that you will respond. If you're here today and you're not saved, oh, sweet friend, I encourage you to repent of your sin. Ask God to forgive you of being a sinner. And by faith, believe that Jesus died, was buried, rose again the third day. And if you'll repent and believe in that gospel message, He'll save you. He'll change your life with this wonderful salvation. He'll forgive you of all your sins. You'll go to heaven when you die, all because you've placed your faith and trust in Jesus. Maybe you are saved. Say, preacher, I know the Lord is my Savior, but I'll be honest, just kind of going through the motions right now. Well, friend, would to God, this be the last day you say that. Would to God that you will use this day, the last day of 2017, to put that behind you and start fresh and anew with serving Jesus. I mean this from the bottom of my heart. I've said this to you for years. I still believe. I wouldn't say it if I didn't believe it. I still believe the greatest days of Emmanuel lie ahead of her. I really do. Say, preacher, do you honestly believe that? Yes, I do. Because that's the God that we serve. He loves to do amazing things. He loves to do extraordinary things. He loves to do, like Ephesians tells us, exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask, all that we could think. That's the God that we serve. Maybe like to come to this altar and just talk to God, man. Maybe just pour your heart out to the Lord that God can work. And maybe you can use this altar as kind of a signature moment, a defining moment in your life. Where you start fresh and anew serving Jesus, going into 2018, running for Jesus as opposed to backsliding away from Him. You come if the Lord's touched your heart, Brother Ryan.
298.
298. You come as we sing. Attention this morning. Thanks for coming. Thanks for being a part of our service. Those of you visiting with us today, man, we are delighted that you're here. Thank you for being a part of our services today. Brother Ryan, any closing announcements?
No, sir, other than there's no PM service tonight.
All right.
And then, of course, next week we get back on track with all choir and everything else that we have going on. So that's it.
All right, buddy. Dismiss us.
All right, yes, sir. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We thank you for today. We thank you for the blessings that you give us in life. Lord, we're thankful for our salvation.